Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy for Saturday, December 14th. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, on the second Saturday of each month. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. I'm excited about that myself, because I've had 10 careers. I started out as a fashion model, then a rock and roll singer, corporate consultant, adjunct professor for 3 universities, and today I'm a professional speaker, author, coach, blogger, and radio show host. So let's set the tone for today's program. Gail Devers said, "Keep your dreams alive. Understand to achieve anything requires faith and belief in yourself, vision, hard work, determination, and dedication. Remember, all things are possible for those who believe." Today's show, of course, is brought to you by budgetpreneur.com. If you find that you have very little money to invest in business and yet still need to get things done, stop putting those things off. That's what we're going to talk about today, as a matter of fact. Go to budgetpreneur.com. They provide the resources and tools to help you manage your business, save money, and increase revenue. Visit www.budgetpreneur.com. That's budgetpreneur.com, and become a member today. All right, let's get started. And by the way, if you're listening online and call in to ask a question, please mute your computer first. The number to call is 646-381-4198. We have a fabulous guest for you today. Our topic is, stop waiting for it to get easier. Create your dream business now. When times are tough, entrepreneurs have two choices. They can hunker down and operate their business much more conservatively, essentially pulling in their horns and, in some cases, sticking their heads in the sand until things return to normal or somehow, in their eyes, get better. I do not believe this is a good growth strategy. When you pull in your horns and cut staff, marketing, inventory, available hours, etc., this more often than not becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and business does, in fact, begin to decline. That's why our guest this month is Jim Palmer. Let me tell you about him. Jim Palmer is best known internationally as the newsletter guru, the go-to resource for maximizing the profitability of customer relationships. Jim is the founder of Custom Newsletters Incorporated, which is a parent company of 7 newsletters. The foreword of his new book, Stop Waiting for It to Get Easier, is written by Kevin Harrington, who is a former investor, shark, from ABC's hit show, Shark Tank. Successful businesses are created every day, and no matter what the economy is or other outside market conditions may be, the truth is there is never a perfect time to start a business, so why not start now? That's what we're going to talk about today. It's entrepreneurs who, when times are tough, you also have another choice rather than coming out, and that is to recognize that no matter what the global or national economic environment is doing, entrepreneurs who provide massive value delivered to their customers, their clients, and patients, which is what Jim calls world-class service, market their businesses with smart marketing and business-building ideas, that's his trademark, by the way, can then experience significant growth in their businesses. He will share some smart marketing and business building ideas with us today. And with that, welcome, Jim.
Well, thank you. It's a privilege to be here with you, Yvonne. And I could just listen to you all day. Those words you were reading there, they sound frighteningly familiar.
Oh, I know. I'd like to begin by asking, what holds most people back from becoming an entrepreneur?
You know, I think in a lot of different ways it's fear. But also what a lot of people don't realize even when they're in it, is there is different types of fear. I mean, a lot of people commonly think of fear of failure, like, well, I don't know if I should do this. What if I don't make it? You know, if I'm going to, you know, mortgage my house or whatever, and you say, well, I just don't have really the, you know, the kind of chutzpah to do that. But there's also fear of success. What's that going to look like? What if I do, you know, grow this big business? What if I do, you know, achieve my dreams? What's that going to look like? Are my old friends going to still like me? What am I, you know, what is my family members going to think? There's a lot of different things that go into it. And I think what really, if you roll all that up in a ball, put it in somebody's head and then expose them to really nonstop negative doom and gloom if you happen to watch TV at all, it really holds a lot of people back. And, you know, funny story about the title of the book, you know, I coach a lot of entrepreneurs on marketing and business building strategies, and there was a point in this year in April where a number of people saying, you know, I'm thinking of launching a new product, I'm thinking of expanding my business, what do you think's a good time, when's it going to get back to normal? And then I also do a lot of interviews like I'm doing right now with you, and a couple of people said, well, Jim, what's a good time to start a business? And Yvonne, I must have said no less than half a dozen times in about a week, I think people should stop waiting for it to get easier and just get into action. And that really became the genesis for why I wanted to write the book.
Oh, that's wonderful, because right there it tells you there's a market for it.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. Entrepreneurship at its heart is when you have a product or a program that offers a solution or is something that is in demand. And if it's in demand, there is no bad time to do it. And I, you know, in your intro there, you're talking about when will things return to normal. And I think the correct way to kind of reframe your mind around that is there is never a normal. There's only what are the current market conditions. I mean, if anybody is sitting back there that's either been in business 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, thinking, well, I want to wait for things, because it's been, I mean, we can be honest with ourselves, it's been a difficult economy for small business owners for, you know, several years now. And if people are thinking, I can't wait to go back to the 90s, the mid-90s, early 90s, when things, you could throw money at the curb and it would just multiply before your hands or before your eyes, I think those days are gone. And so what normal looks like is, what am I going to do today? How do I have to think differently? How do I act differently? How do I market differently? How do I service my clients differently? I mean, what are you going to do now to create your own normal and to, what I say, build your dream business now? Because there is no bad time.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. Now, I have another question for you. In your weekly newsletter guru TV videos, you often mention entrepreneur and small business owners. So I was wondering, what's the difference?
You know, this is my personal belief, Yvonne. I think the difference, and first of all, you could be a small business owner and still be an entrepreneur, but I think the reason I say it in the same sentence, almost as if there's two different roles, if you will, is because I think there's two different mindsets. A small business owner, most of the time, has the mindset of somebody who says, this is what I do, and to grow, I want to do more of it. So, for example, if you own a local jewelry store, you're a small business owner and you want to sell more jewelry. You could do a bunch of things. You could bring in more inventory. You could do more marketing. You could do a whole bunch of things to sell more jewelry. Eventually, I mean, let's say you're in a strip mall and you got a nice 1,200 square foot store. Let's say you grow your business to $1 million, which would be a pretty nice goal, and you're thinking you're kind of maxed out. The small business owner is going to say, if I want to grow to $1.5 million, $2 million, I need to open up a second location, another jewelry store. An entrepreneur is more wealth creation oriented. In other words, it doesn't matter to me as an entrepreneur how many different businesses I run, whether they're all connected or not. I'm interested in creating wealth and financial freedom and time freedom for myself. So, for example, when I started my first business, I was writing and designing newsletters, and my second business, you know, No Hassle Newsletters, I sell content, and I sell done-for-you newsletters in the form of templates to hundreds of clients all over the country and actually in 9 different countries around the world using the power of the Internet. I have my coaching program. I've started a printing. I have my own printing business. I publish information products. I publish books. So I do a lot of different things. I'm not just focused on just selling more newsletters or creating more, you know, more clients, and I think that's really the difference. It's one of mindset.
It is. It is. You talk about your business GPS, and I know that G stands for guts, and you believe there's 3 stages of gut life of a small business owner. Can you describe them for us?
Yeah, I sure can. You know, when you first of all, the first stage of guts is pulling the trigger. You know, there are millions and millions of people who have an idea, who have a desire to have their own business, to create their own business, change, create their own destiny, so to speak. But there's very few people, if you think about it, as many businesses as there are, the percentage is very small of the number of people who actually pull the trigger. So first of all, if you're starting out, just starting out, or if you're kind of grinding out the lean early years, as I call them, congratulations, because you've really exhibited a lot of guts. And the second thing, the second stage of where I think guts are needed when you're an entrepreneur is in those early lean years. I mean, Yvonne, I think I wrote in my book, my first 12 months in business were what I call revenue free, which is a funny, polite way of saying it took me a year to get my first new client. And trust me, every week, every month that went by that I did not have revenue was painful, because I do believe you can be a business owner, but if you have no sales, you really don't have a business. It is all about the revenue.
Yeah.
You know, and so for whatever it takes to grind out those lean years, whether it means, in my case, I actually got a part-time job and I kind of worked early mornings, and then I worked afternoons and evenings to grow my business until it finally took off and I was able to quit that, or whether it means borrowing, getting a loan, whatever it takes, it's very, very, very few business owners are able to start from scratch and generate enough money right off the bat to, you know, support their family or replicate whatever income they had when they, that's the second stage. And then I think the third stage, which is very interesting, it's a little more maybe philosophical, is that after you've had some success and you've really started generating profits, you're comfortable, maybe you got a staff, I find that most entrepreneurs at this stage start getting a little more conservative in their thinking. And so if an opportunity comes up for a new product, new program, in some way to grow their business, and, you know, obviously there's risk involved in everything, but when that opportunity comes up, what I found in stage 3 is that a lot of entrepreneurs will kind of back away from that, figuring, I was broke once, I don't want to go back there, I've got responsibilities, I've got payroll. And what I say is, you know, you don't want to be making bad or rash decisions, but by the same token, if you want to maximize the growth and profitability of your business and let it become the dream business you originally dreamed of, even when you're far down the road, you need to maintain some of that almost what I would call childlike, you know, abandon. Oh, hell yes, I'm going to do this. Let's go do it, you know. So that's kind of the third stage.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Now, what are some of the most powerful strategies for success that an entrepreneur can use to accelerate their growth?
Yeah, and so in Chapter 8 of my book, Stop Waiting for It to Get Easier, I actually give 6 strategies, but I'm going to give you one of them right now for the sake of time, and it's called positioning. And so when you are when you're seen as a commodity, even if you view yourself as a commodity, you're always going to be driven by the lowest price. So if you're an accountant and somebody either looks in the yellow pages, I'm sure you can remember what that looked like, or else go to Google
yeah,
or whatever. You know, I don't know the last time I actually touched a yellow pages, but I still talk about it. You know, but so if you go and say, okay, I need an accountant, there's going to be 30 accountants at least in just about every yellow page in the country, I would think. And so how do you stand out? Because if there's 30 people who all basically do the same thing, how are you going to, first of all, get noticed and stand out and gain clients? But more importantly, how are you going to command the higher price? because creating a dream business is all about creating a highly profitable business, not just being another one. So what that means is you have to create a position for yourself. You have to create a brand. You have to become unique in some way. You have to position yourself as the go-to authority so that when people say, I need, you know, X, Y, and Z, and somebody says, oh, that's Jim. Well, I need a newsletter. Oh, God, you got to go see Jim. He's the greatest in newsletters, or whatever it is, you know. So you want to be known as that, because when you are in that position, people are going to be drawn to you. You know, Yvonne, real quick, you know, 12 years ago I was diagnosed with melanoma, and it was very new to me, obviously very, very scary and frightening. And one of the things I did is after I learned what it was, because I hadn't even heard the term before, is I started doing some fast research for the best melanoma surgeon in the Philadelphia area. Now, I didn't go to my regular doctor and say, hey, can you recommend somebody? I didn't just go, you know, you want to go to the best person you can when you have a problem. Now, with me, it was a health problem. But in business, if your business is really bad or you stink at sales, I want to find a sales trainer who can help my team close more sales. You're going to go look for somebody who's got the reputation and the brand and kind of the cachet, and that's the person you're going to go to, right? So it's all about positioning.
Absolutely. That's very, very true, and you, sir, are very, very well positioned, because having so many newsletters and having that as part of your brand, it immediately would come to a person's mind when they think of, that's what I want to do.
You know, can I give you a little bit more on positioning? Do we have time?
Yes, please do.
So a lot of times, Yvonne, somebody will ask me, how did you become the newsletter guru? And I always preface my answer and say, this is either going to be incredibly enlightening or it's going to feel like you just let the air out of the balloon. So what I did is one day I said, okay, I am for now, ever forward, I'm known as the newsletter guru. And I started calling myself that and marketing myself that. And the truth of the matter is I never went to design school. I never learned how to be a professional writer. I think if I was really honest with myself, and I am, there's probably people who can even create better newsletters than me. But I created the title of Newsletter Guru, and I always, you know, market myself that way. And so when somebody thinks of needing a newsletter for their business, if they type in newsletter marketing or anything like that, you're likely to find me filling up at least half of page one in Google. And so you just have to anoint yourself. You come up with kind of a name or a brand or a handle, and you anoint yourself. You don't have to go to join an association. You don't have to pay anybody. You don't have to go to England and get knighted or anything like that. You just anoint yourself as the expert. And then what I say is you boldly, confidently, and continuously promote that brand at every opportunity.
Absolutely. That's really great advice. And it makes me think of all the big brands out there that I know, you know, Madonna's the Material Girl, right? And Beyonce is Sasha Fierce. And those are brands that they made up for themselves and then just kept hitting on it, like you said, until that's what people say when they think of that person, or that's how people view them and their brand. And it's something they made up. Now, I have another question for you, because I found it fascinating that you got Kevin Harrington from the Shark Tank to write the foreword for your book. I think that's totally cool. What was his core message, and what did you learn working with him?
So I'm going to tell you how that came about, because I think, you know, the entrepreneurs that are listening to the show will find it very instructive. I'm a big fan of the show. I've watched it since its inception, and Kevin was on the first 2 years. He was the guy that did the infomercials. He was very early a pioneer in that business. And so I was listening to an interview with Kevin, and at the end of the show, the host, what they usually, you know, how can people learn more about you? So he gave his website. And then he actually gave out his email address, but it wasn't like info@ or anything like that. It was actually, well, I'm not going to say it here because I almost think he might have slipped to the tongue, but it was an AOL email address. And my first thought, Yvonne, was, good grief, is somebody still using AOL? And but then I really thought that, you know, that must be a personal email. And so I thought about it for about 10 seconds, and I opened an email, and I started writing to him, told him how much I admired the Shark Tank, and I know one of the deals that he did in season 2 was this thing called City Kitty. There was this woman who taught cats how to go in the toilet so you can avoid the whole litter box. Yeah, mm-hmm. and so Kevin invested in that, and I referenced that. Now, if you get an email from me, so this is tip number 2, because tip number 1 is taking the shot. So tip number 2 is when I send an email, I have a very nice little image at the bottom, and so it's got my picture, it's got the five pictures of my books, it has my business app, and it's got all these different things. And so when I emailed him, he looks, I goes, huh, and then he went and Googled me and did a little searching and stuff. And then he wrote me back in about 2 hours and said, well, thank you very much. Appreciate the compliment. Hey, I checked you out. Looks like you're doing some fun stuff. We ought to chat someday. And next thing you know, a couple days later, we were on the phone and had a very nice conversation. I said, Kevin, I'm writing my 5th book now. It's just about done. I'd be honored if you would consider writing the foreword. And I sent it to him, and 2 days after that, he wrote back and said, Jim, not only do I believe in the core message of your book, but I want to be part of this movement. And that's kind of how I was looking at it. He said, you know, entrepreneurs and small business owners are the backbone of this country and this economy, and we need to do more to spur on entrepreneurship. So that was how that whole thing came about.
Oh, that's why. So I got the wonderful advice you got there, and then the other piece that I got was the personalization of your email so that he had a picture so he could see what you looked like and had enough information in that closing in your email that he could use that and Google you, and then that sparked interest and moved things forward. So that's another little tip there for people to have that built into their correspondence.
Exactly, and that's happened before too. That's not a rare thing. You know, just about 3 weeks ago, I interviewed on my radio show. I interviewed John Taffer from Bar Rescue, which is a really great show on Spike TV. And same thing, John checked me out, and so when we jumped on right before the show, he said, "Yeah, I was looking at what you're doing. You're doing some really good stuff. I love supporting entrepreneurs like you do." So it made a connection for us. So I think, you know, to maybe put a bow on this little conversation we just had, for goodness sakes, if anybody's using Hotmail or Gmail, get off that and get yourself a real email, and then also get yourself an email signature, which gives people some information about you. So when they get an email from you, it's almost like, wow, look at all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, that is very, very educational, actually. We're getting down to the wire here, but I was hoping you would tell us a little bit about the true and real nature of business, which is what you have in Chapter 5 of the book. What do you mean by that?
You know, this is how this came about. So I wrote this book in about 5 months. I do a lot of speaking, and so it was in July. I was flying out to California, and I'm sitting in the terminal at Philadelphia Airport, and I'm got my little laptop out, and I'm doing a little editing of what I was doing so far. And I think, you know, they always play CNN, so somewhere on there, I guess, the people behind me, and you know, when you're sitting in those seats in the terminal, you're so close to people. But somebody must have just had a story on the TV of some bad man who owned a business or something, is what I figured. And the people behind me were going off about, you know, what a crook, and he very well may well have been a crook. But what they said was something to the effect of these greedy business owners or something like that. And I got to thinking that, you know, first of all, I was painting with a very broad brushstroke. But, you know, when you think about it, the very nature of business, of entrepreneurship, is solving a problem. And it's actually, if you want to really say it in a almost a bad way, but a true way, it's profiting off other people's pain. And so a couple examples I give in the book, if you are... Let's say you are a company like ServPro. ServPro is the company that does fire and water damage restoration. I think their tagline is like it never happened before. Now, if somebody experiences a fire or a flood or something like that and they call ServPro, They are so happy that ServPro comes in and makes their home like it never happened before. But in reality, I mean, those people are in pain. It's a very bad thing they're going through. But thank goodness there's a business like ServPro that employs good people, that they make a profit so they can afford to market and continue to grow. And, you know, I give several examples. Like, what about alarm companies? If it wasn't for burglars and crooks, there'd be no need for alarm companies. And if it wasn't for an occasional stone hitting your windshield, again, a very bad thing, there'd be no reason for companies that repair windshields. So, you know, it is in a way profiting off of people's pain, if you will. But in reality, I think you ought to reposition yourself. You should be like the knight in shining armor. If you've got a service or a program that helps people when they're in pain, by the way, do a good job, you know, run a very ethical and, you know, morally based business, but you're entitled to make a profit.
Absolutely. I agree with you 110%. You are entitled to make a profit, because otherwise, why are you in business?
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, a lot of people, especially in today, you know, today's economy, you hear a lot of stuff, well, they're in business to provide jobs. Well, I'm sorry, that's not why I started a business. You know, I started a business to provide a service, but by giving good service to my clients, I wanted to generate an income for myself. That income happens to be called a profit. I don't get a paycheck. I make money when my business is profitable. And
absolutely.
So, you know, to whatever degree I do employ people, and I have 9 assistants that work for me, that's great, but that's not why I started a business. I did not start a business to become an employer.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And I think there's a lot of really great clarity in there for you, because sometimes entrepreneurs or small business owners or people who just kind of have the spark of an idea start thinking those kinds of negative thoughts, because they may hear people around them, just as you did, saying those kinds of things. But your answer was really excellent in putting things in perspective as to why would you do this if you're not going to be able to keep the lights on and eat.
Yeah.
You need to,
you know,
make a profit.
Speaking of that kind of feedback, you mentioned earlier I do a weekly video called Newsletter Guru TV. I'm in my 5th year of doing weekly videos for free. And so the video I did last week, which comes out this coming Tuesday, I forget the exact title, but it was basically around Carrie Underwood and her performance doing The Sound of Music. And I saw that day, I was getting ready to shoot a video, and that day I saw where she was getting a lot of heat and criticism, because let's face it, she's not a good actor. She's a phenomenal singer, but not a great actress.
Phenomenal singer, yeah.
And what I said is, so I got on and I said, first of all, she took the high road. She only put one tweet out that said something to the effect of, let me be plain and simple, haters need Jesus, or something like that, because she's a Christian. And I thought, well, good for her. You know, she didn't go down there and go start going back and forth with these people. And so then I said, well, I'm sure you're all wondering, what's this got to do with business? Here's everything it has to do with business. When you are successful and when you put yourself out there, and you have to put yourself out there if you're going to be a success in business, if you operate within your little safe comfort zone, you may be able to crank out a little bit of a living, but the people who do really well, they're out there risking. And when you're out there risking and taking a shot, you're bound to get criticized, and it needs to be water off a duck's back. You cannot listen to the people who are going to take shots at you, because if you investigate them or look anywhere for any amount of time, you're going to realize they're not doing anything. That's usually the people who are criticizing are those people who are not doing anything.
That is very true. Absolutely, absolutely. So this has been absolutely phenomenal. Do you have any recommendations, final words, offers, suggestions for our listeners?
You know, I'm gonna say the name of my book, Stop Waiting For It to Get Easier, Create Your Dream Business Now. That's not only a good title of a book, I think it's the mantra for these times. You know, I've had really tremendous growth the last 4 or 5 years in what has to be called, I call it a crappy economy, it really is. But I find a way to provide value, I find ways to address the needs of my clients. And I market very aggressively. I don't stick my head in the sand. I continue to grow. And, you know, I've been blessed with a very successful business. So there's no reason in the world, you know, other people can't grow and prosper even when we're in challenging times.
Thank you very much, Jim. That was excellent.
Oh, Sure,
thanks for
my
the
pleasure.
Wonderful interview. And thanks to all of you for listening to the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois. And I'll see you next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Until then, remember what Pope John the 23rd said. Quote, consult not your fears, but your hopes and your dreams. Think not about your frustrations, but about your unfulfilled potential. Concern yourself not with what you have tried and failed in, but with what it is still possible for you to do. Always join us on the second Saturday each month. And in the meantime, visit us online at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne-F-Brown to share your comments about today's show. And while there, become a friend of the show. Thank you, Jim.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Yvonne. Stay warm.
Thank you for joining us today. If you have a topic that you would like to learn more about, please send it to me at Yvonne@YvonneFBrown.com. You may also use the contact page at www.yvonnefbrown.com, YvonneFBrown.com, to share your comments about today's program or to ask me a question. Until next time, this is Yvonne Brown saying, each day you have the opportunity to get out there on life's playing field or sit on the sidelines. It's always more rewarding to get in the game and play.